Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd, the podcast where three friends, three amigos, three bambinos, three pals talk about nerd shit. And this week we are doing the summer movie wager where we are trying to guess the top 10 blockbuster movies of the summer. My name is Luis Gonzalez, and with me is
Miguel Sanchez
and Deadpool.
And this is my favorite time of the year, guys.
I love this
time of the year. This is where we both, all three of us, get to decide what movie goes where in the top 10 box office. Historically speaking, Ed, you have won. You won the very first summer movie wager. You got that correct.
Yeah,
and then Miguel, you won last year's summer movie wager. So the pressure's on for me to predict correctly what the top 10 blockbuster movies are going to be. However, I will say I have been consistently second. So
okay, that's yes. like my Fortnite ranking right now. Like I'm just like consistently second. I'm consistently botching it at the end.
That's okay.
Solieri.
There are a couple rules, but before we do that, guys, I think we should just cheers. All right, let's cheers for a new year, Miguel. Yeah. You reigned your championship very well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The year flew by so fast.
I couldn't believe we were already doing it, right?
Yeah. When Luis texted us last
I'm excited.
Week.
I'm excited to cheers here.
Is that milk?
Is that yes. fucking milk?
Oh, you're right. Excuse me. This episode's being released near May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Uh-oh.
So, of course, I'm going to be drinking blue milk. This is True Moose blue milk. Okay.
Leche con azul.
Pour the power of protein.
It is
blue-colored, vanilla, low-fat milk with natural flavors.
Drink it right now.
Heavy.
Take a swig.
All right.
Cheers.
I got a nice glass that I'm going to pour.
Happy summer movie wager.
I'm so mad right now. I'm so mad.
Here we go.
Now put tequila in it.
All right. Happy summer movie wager. I'm drinking it.
Cheers.
Tastes like milk with a little vanilla. Okay, so this is how it's going to work. The summer season begins May 5th. That's when this episode released, all the way to Labor Day, September 4th. We are only going to do domestic numbers only, and we're going to do our top 10 picks, and then at the very end, we'll do the three wild cards. Now, there are points, guys. There's points. If you get number 1 or number 10 dead on, you get 13 points. If you get 2 to 9 dead on, that's 10 points. If you are one pick away, you get 7 points. If you're two spots away, you get 5 points. And if your movie makes it anywhere in the top 10, you get 3 points. And we're going to have these dark horses that don't make it in our top 10. But if those dark horses do make it into the top 10, it's 1 point.
Okay.
Once again, I'd like to shout this out to the Filmcast podcast where I got this idea. And thank you very much for bringing this idea. I wanted to play it, and here we are. First off, before we play, guys, thoughts in the summer. What are we thinking about the summer? Putting these numbers together, how did we feel? I was very excited. Miguel, yes,
I think this is a good summer, you guys. Like, Ed kind of texted earlier about this, but this is positive to me. There's like less franchises this summer, and the franchises that are here this summer, they have been away for a very long time, you know? And so it's like there's excitement brewing for them to come back. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of magic in the air. I tried to follow a formula that I followed last year, and I'll talk more about it later, but I think this summer is a good summer.
Yeah. Ed, what are your thoughts on the summer?
You know, I think it is going to be an interesting summer. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a bad summer in that, like Miguel's saying, it's not. We don't have like a million superhero movies coming out. We don't, you know, it's not the same run of the mill. And whilst last year was surprising in a lot of ways, like you were saying, Miguel, we're coming back to, yes, some familiar franchises, some we've seen more recently, like Bad Boys, and then some maybe like the last 7 years since we've seen a Planet of the Apes film. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I mean, a lot of considerable time for a lot of movies, and it'll be interesting to see how audiences react to it now. But yeah, can I make one prediction? I don't think a single movie is going to hit a billion dollars this year.
I agree with you. And I bouncing off of that, piggybacking off of that, I feel like this is going to be a very low, box office summer, where, you know, in the past we've gotten like 600 million, 500 million, like the top three or four were 300 million. And here it's like, man, I personally had a hard time picking which ones were even going to be in the top 10. Like, wow, that number 10 wow. and 9 or 8 may not even make a lot of money.
For sure.
For me, this summer isn't as exciting as past summers. I think there was only a handful of options that I really liked. And the other ones I'm just been kind of throwing in there. But that's just me. So we were running the gamut here. Miguel hyped on the summer, and me just, you know, excited for a few.
It's not so much that I'm like, I'm not going to be sat for all of these movies. Okay. Like, right. I'm not rushing to the theaters, but I do think there is some magic happening. And do I think it's going to be as big as like Barbenheimer? No. Okay.
Right.
But I do think some surprise hits of the summer. Interesting point about $1 billion is it's just like, how often since COVID has that happened? You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't feel like that is the standard anymore.
No, the highs of 2019, we have not met again. You know,
no,
so,
yeah.
So it's been very hard to for people to match that.
But yeah. there are going to be some fun, interesting elements that we're going to see more of this year, especially after Barbenheimer. Is that we are seeing 100% more IMAX releases for a lot of movies. Like, I'm talking about, you've got Furiosa, The Fall Guy. A lot of movies are pushing for that IMAX screen, and audiences are currently buying into that. Like, Civil War did pretty well, and a big part of that was because of IMAX screenings. And that's a small movie, you know. But yeah, I think most of the movies coming up on this list, they are pushing that IMAX viewing experience. So I think that'll be fun to see how that affects box office.
1,000%. I agree with you, Ed, on that too. I think we should just jump into this thing. Let's start with number 10. We'll go Ed, Miguel, me, as far as these guesses go. So, to kick off the 2024 Summer Movie Wager, Ed.
Number 10, right?
Who do you pick number 10. For your number 10?
Okay. Guys, we're talking about old franchises. I'm talking about the oldest of them all. It's Alien Romulus is my number 10. I think if it pulls it off and this gets good reviews, I think it'll do solid. But I don't think any Alien movie has really gone beyond 100 mil, so that's why I've got it so low. Like Prometheus did like 126, but didn't have very long legs, and Covenant did way worse than that. So it's been, people might be skeptical coming into a new Alien film, you know.
I agree 100%. One of the things I was thinking about on each franchise that I thought about for this summer was, what is the temperature of these franchises? Mm. And Alien is cooling. Every time an Alien movie comes out, what's the goal of that movie? Is to capture the magic of the original two movies, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They want it to be good. They want to put butts in the seats. Ridley Scott's coming back. You know, they're getting this movie. The Alien is in this one. It's not just a prequel, yada, yada, yada. And every time it kind of falls a little flat, at least for me.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a worthy top 10, but I agree with that. I think it's kind of early, lower in the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it does well. I hope it is good. Like, God knows a good Alien movie is long overdue, but it is also that franchise staleness that people are wary of. And like I said, the moment, you know, if this movie just isn't up to par to expectations,
it'll fall off.
It's going to fall so hard. Yeah. So
I feel like it's an opportunity for this franchise to be reinvigorated with the new leadership, with Fede Alvarez, the director, kind of instill some new spirit into it. So the only, and it's tough too, because this movie is coming out August 16th, near the tail end of the summer. And so it has to do a lot of work to kind of get into that top 10 era. But if he pulls it off, then a lot of people can flock to it.
And, you know, just like those first two weekends could make a difference compared to some other movies that might be lacking. Who knows? I wish it all the best. And like, the teaser trailer has me hyped enough to want to see it, you know. New cast, like you were saying, Luis, new generation. And we've seen some like old slasher movies do well with getting a little reboot with a new cast, like Scream and Halloween, you know. But then like the second movie isn't very good. So I don't know. It's just one of those, but I'm content to put it here at my number 10.
Okay.
All right, Miguel.
Ten for me is another like temperature taker. You know what I mean? We need to see, is he on a comeback or is his fate sealed? Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about a franchise that, Luis, I think you kind of like. I want to see what Will Smith's doing this summer. Okay. Bad Boys. Listen, that third Bad Boys movie, did y'all see that one?
No,
do you guys remember a lot of hype?
No.
Me either. So this is low. This is low on my list, but it's a temperature taker, right? Is Will Smith coming back? That is kind of the question mark for a lot of his projects right now. Do I think it could like breach the top 10? Yeah, I kind of do. Do I think it's going to be a billion-dollar maker? No, I don't.
Right.
So that's, for me, is Bad Boys. It's not Bad Boys for Life. It's like Bad Boys, we ruined the title of the last one.
Ride or Die, yeah.
Yeah, Bad Boys 4.
Well, you know, and that last one, Bad Boys for Life,
that should have been the fourth one.
Bad Boys 3 for Life.
What the hell?
They didn't think they would get to make a fourth one.
Oh, okay, well.
But that last one made $206 million domestic. Oh.
The way I panicked.
I really need to figure this out. No, but that was actually a hit. That's why they had this follow-up.
And
but
that's what
this
I'm saying.
Follow-up is coming after the slap.
Yeah. So, but $200 million is $200 million. That's $200 million
to break through the 10.
That's what I'm saying. And if someone's on a tiebreaker, that could be the thing that pushes them forward.
I'm really curious about it because of post the slap. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Is it going to work?
I probably won't watch it because I'm not ready for Will Smith yet.
I'm not a Bad Boys fan, so I had no intention of seeing this movie. I am a bad boy, though.
My number 10 is something that requires a little bit of an imagination. This is John Krasinski's Imaginary Friend. Friend is my 10th pick, if you will, starring Ryan Reynolds and a couple people that I don't know. But it seems just like it's coming in early on May 17th, so it's got a long way to go. It could be a fun movie. Could be a good family movie. I know it's a new property, but maybe it might get word of mouth. So I'm just kind of, interesting, a bunch of interesting creatives. And let's just see where it goes. I don't know. It's a wild card here.
I don't want to, but it's not an actual wild card.
No, it's not an actual wild card. Yeah. I'm just,
I don't want to overtalk everyone that we talk about, but I really have thought about a lot of these choices.
Uh-huh.
The reason why Ryan Reynolds, if didn't make it in my top 10 is because I think if I'm betting on another Ryan Reynolds movie, it's not going to be this one. You know what I mean? Sure. And there's plenty of other family movies that I think are gonna make top 10. So this one didn't make my 10, but it was something that we considered in my house.
I think it's one of the earlier ones. I think it may be the first one to be a family film that people can start watching. So if the summer's ready to go and they want to see
it. We saw last year with Guardians of the Galaxy, which wasn't a family film, but it was a superhero film.
Yeah.
And we were talking about superhero fatigue last year, but Guardians had legs. You know what I mean? And that early summer release really does play into
That's what happened with Elemental. Elemental started off really badly, and then people started picking wind of it, and then it started doing better and better. So it has more room to kind of go up the chain. So.
I just want to say, this is our third year. We're learning. You know what I mean? I feel like we're getting good at this. Okay.
Okay. Number 9, Ed, go for it. What's your number 9?
All right. Number 9. This is another comeback. We already mentioned it 7 years ago. We had the War of the Planet of the Apes. Now we're having Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now, we don't have Matt Reeves returning to direct this one. It's Wes Ball, who directed the Maze Runner franchise.
Your brother.
So do with that, yeah.
Oh, cousin Wes.
cousin Wes. So this has a lot of, people who may not have been big Planet of the Apes fans might be wondering, why are they continuing this? Some people can see that there is a story to be continued, you know, to make the full circle of the Planet of the Apes that, you know, we know through pop culture and everything. But the I don't think people are necessarily buzzing about these films, but if this one's good, I think it could make a solid hit to get its way into the top 10. And again, this one's being pushed on IMAX and, you know, bigger screens and stuff. And all of those movies did relatively well in the past. You know, not really going below 140 million domestically. So, like, they've always been like a kind of solid hit. So we'll see if people still have an appetite for it.
It might not be a big seller to the casual audience, but Andy Serkis did do like a little featurette for the movie, and he was like, "I'm passing the baton." Wes has such a clear vision for the future, yada yada. Yeah. But I will say, like, when you watch the trailer, some of that CGI is a little shoddy. So
yeah.
You know, we can talk about it
up on the big screen. We'll see. But,
you know,
yeah, I'm curious to see it. I'm a fan of the franchise. I want to see where they take the story. But, you know, it might not appeal to everyone. But it is also like one of the earlier big blockbusters this summer. So, that gives it a little push.
Coming out May 10th, coming out very soon. A franchise I tried to start watching again so I could do a ranking. Don't know if I'll make it in time. Miguel, what's your number 9?
Ed mentioned it in the last one. I kind of already said my thoughts on it, but I'm going to go ahead and throw out Alien Romulus. This is a franchise that people are cooling on it. And yeah. I think this is the chance, but I think that's kind of what every Alien movie has been so far, is a chance.
It's a chance,
So I'm going to put it at number 9. I think it will do better than Bad Boys. Okay, whether they're in the top 10 or not, I think it will do better. Okay, so number 9, Alien.
All right, everybody shut up, because here comes my number 9. John Krasinski has blessed us with Imaginary Friend. We're also going to do another John Krasinski movie here. Quiet Place, Day One. That's my number 9 pick. I don't know what else to say about it. I guess just I think it's gonna land low, but I don't think it'll be high. Comes out June 28th.
But he didn't direct this one, right?
No, but he is producing.
But he's like, it's vibes. It's all vibes.
It's his. Well, it's his baby. He
right,
he,
of course.
It's his franchise, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I don't want to say anything too much, but I just want to say that this year I'm coming in confident with my choices, and I'm not gonna let other people's opinion on this podcast. Well, I'm not gonna let it sway me.
Well, hold on. I guess we'll get to it, because it feels like Quiet Place might be later on in your spot. Maybe I don't have a pulse on it, but I just feel like only a few people are into it. Like those who are into it, but the general public, I don't know, are going to show up. I could be proven wrong about this, but I just don't feel that connected.
I hear what you're saying.
Miguel, you can't take us having different opinions as criticism either.
No, for sure. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is, as this year, I'm not taking it as personal. Like, I think that it's good that maybe one of us sees it lower or higher, you know?
Oh, okay.
That's what's fun.
That's the whole point. Yep.
Exactly. Ed?
Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. Right?
Let's hear that grade 8.
Number 8. We talked about it already. I'm just waiting to see what happens post Slap, but that most recent one did do pretty good, so maybe people are still hot for it. It's Bad Boys, Ride or Die.
Interesting placement for, I just said that I thought Alien would do better than Bad Boys.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that deliberately. Again, I wrote this list down, Miguel, before.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just making conversation. Think, like, that's interesting that we have different... Let's see how it plays out for us.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love for Alien to do much better than Bad Boys. I have no affection for it.
I want Alien to do well every time.
I do, you know too. What I mean? I really do, too.
And this one does look good. Don't get me wrong.
I feel like it's a time... I wish it came out earlier. But I understand it's a lot of competition up here. Miguel, what's your number 8?
Okay, so I talked about a formula, you know what I mean, that I kind of view summer movies as. I kind of mentioned this last year. I think Pixar, you know what I mean, is one of those, like, it can do really well, especially when it's an original Pixar. But when it's a sequel, you kind of have to go, it may go one way or the other. In this house, my son is super looking forward to this movie. I hope it does well. Number 8, Inside Out 2. Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Curious. I'm curious to know about, as we talk about the animation movies, about the temperature that the that your kids have towards it. You know,
he has affected my animation movies of the summer. There is one I'll put a little bit higher. And I'll talk about it when I get there. It's not just him, but I do think there is a movie that will outwin Inside Out too.
Yeah.
So we'll get
to
it. I think
it might be the one I'm interested to talk about.
Okay. Garfield, right?
My number 8 is a movie we've talked about already. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I'm with you there, Ed. Yeah, I just think that many people won't show up, but it's kind of like that Fast and Furious Transformers kind of.
Interesting point is we're not getting Fast and Furious. We're not getting Transformers this summer. You know what I mean?
It feels like that's where it would go. And so that's kind of slotting into that place.
It's helpful that those movies aren't here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, those movies didn't do well at all last year either. They were in the bottom.
Yeah.
Which is why.
But Ed mentioned earlier, the Apes franchise has been like, what, 7 years since it came out? So it's like,
right,
if we're going to do it again, okay, at least it wasn't like last year we just did
it. It still feels like too soon. Even it being 7 years to me personally. But I'm just like, what? We're doing this again? All right. Number 7. Oh, yeah, that comes out May 10th. Number 7.
Oh, it's me again. Luis, you already mentioned it. This one, again, I feel like the second one did surprisingly well, even though I just don't think anybody talks about it now. But A Quiet Place, Day One. It's also kind of like, you know, it's a recognizable horror, and it's one of the earlier horrors coming out this summer, you know, that people can dip their toes in more you know. But so I don't know if I'm excited for it necessarily, but we'll see.
You're right. One of the few horrors, and it's coming out at a good time in June 28th.
Yeah.
So. But it's also not one of those horrors that like has to be close to October. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
Like it can be an action thriller horror movie.
Yeah.
Horror is kind of like maybe the third part of the genre.
Thriller.
When they made the second one, I was like, oh wow, we're doing a second one. And then when they did the third one, I was like, oh wow, we're doing a third one. And then at that point, I realized, oh, we're a franchise now.
But it's also a prequel, so it's like when the third one becomes the prequel.
I didn't see the second one, so I didn't know where we could have gone after the second one. Cool. A Quiet Place, Day One.
This one, my turn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my 7th one, this is more so I'm just kind of like feeling a vibe. This is not something that I'm like flocking to at all. Luis, you've talked about the first couple of movies in this franchise. I don't know if it's a franchise, if we can call it that.
Okay.
But it seems like Mia Goth has an audience. Okay. Uh-huh. Because I don't know as much, I put it a little lower on my list. So forgive me if I'm wrong. But I'm going to say Maxine. I think Maxine has kind of a vibe for the summer. I would have loved if we had shifted the window up a little bit and we put Challengers in the summer movie box office.
That would have changed the game.
I would have thrown Challengers in. I don't get Challengers now because of the window, but I kind of felt like Maxine may give us a similar vibe from a different franchise. Does that make sense?
If you're after watching Challengers, if you want a little bit of more of that.
Exactly. And so that's kind of my thought process.
I haven't seen Challengers. Ed has.
And again, I'm going on vibes because I'm on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen
X or Pearl, and I'm not going to tell you what those movies made.
And that's what I'm saying is like, I don't really know if I'm right on this, but that's why I threw it in 7. I threw it kind of like lower tier, you know?
I got you.
But I would I like it to work out? Yeah.
But that's a movie I do want to see, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
The champion, the past champion has spoken.
Yeah, right. It's a vibe.
My number seven, this movie originally wasn't on my list. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, it's got to be on the list. And it kept creeping higher and higher. And you know what? It could probably go higher. But just for my own, I don't know. I couldn't stomach it to go any higher. So it's going to live here. But it might surpass it. My number seven belongs to a man who should not be doing voiceovers as much as he does.
Okay.
This is going to go to Garfield.
Right. I wrote it down before you even said it. I said, yes, sir. I know what you're talking about.
The man makes money. Every time he does voiceover work for animations, it makes money. Okay. The only thing is Garfield is not as as it was before.
We had this conversation in my house. This was something that I'm on the same page. I don't like Chris Pratt. I get the vibe. Oh my God, another Chris Pratt movie. I'm always on the same page.
But the world doesn't care.
But the world doesn't care. And also, you're absolutely right. Take it back. Forget Mario for a second. The Lego movie was a hit. That kind of cemented Chris Pratt. He could already do live action. He could already do sitcoms. He can also do voiceover, whether you feel voice acting, whether you like it or not, you know? I agree with you, Luis, though. Garfield is not the franchise like Mario was last year. You know what I mean? Mario is a hit. They got to land in Disney or Universal after Mario. You know what I mean? And I'm going to talk about that later, about like when these animated movies step beyond the screen and like go into the real world for people to live in. Do I think Garfield's that movie? No. But that was definitely something I considered for a top 10 because of Chris Pratt. So, solid choice.
I think this could snowball into something bigger if the studio runs it right. Like this could grow into a thing if they really make it a forward presenting IP. But I mean, listen, his movies make money. So Garfield, it's there.
I get it.
It was not even on the list on Sunday. And then it was number 10 this morning. And then it went all the way up to 7.
What made you surge it forward?
I don't know. I guess just
Chris Pratt. They haven't dropped a new trailer or anything.
No, it's coming out June 24th. It's got, I don't know what it is. It's a cute ass cat. I just had a feeling. Yeah. It's like a cute cat early in the summer, kids movie. It's got Chris Pratt.
I was going to say, even if kids don't know Garfield, kids could be drawn into that.
Yeah.
And their parent who knows Garfield could be like, well, I could watch a Garfield movie. They don't come out too often. The Bill Murray one, talking about franchises that have already come out, the Bill Murray Garfield movies, that was what, 07? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like 08?
I want to see how much they made.
It didn't make a lot of money at all.
That was so long ago.
This is a gamble. This is a gamble, but also maybe not. Like, this is a weird place because I didn't even want it to be here, but whatever. We're here.
I get Garfield, you. I get 7. You. I support the decision, honestly. Thank
you. Okay. All right, Ed, what's your number six?
It's Garfield. No. number six, sorry. Okay, guys, you could call this a franchise, but it's not one that I've partaken in. But I feel like it's gonna spin right around this summer.
Baby, right around.
Make a bit of money. It's Twisters.
Ooh.
The good old James Cameron philosophy. If you put an S to the end of it,
you guys
make money. You know, just every time I see the trailer, I'm just like, eh. But I just feel this. I have this sense that people are going to go see this movie.
Yeah, you do.
Because it's a familiar disaster film that people, you know, we don't have like another real disaster movie coming out this year.
This is man versus nature. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You got Glenn Powell, who is he's having a great year. So far. And he, you know, you've got a director whose last movie was Oscar nominated for Best Picture, Best Director. And that's Lee Isaac Chung, by the way, who directed
Minari. We knew that. Thank you.
Minari, for our audience. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like that whole thing has me curious, but you know, it just,
you're kind of swept up.
It's an IMAX. Yeah. Swept up. Just don't flatten me with a house or whatever.
Or a cow.
Or a cow.
No, this is, Twisters feels like one of those random ones that are coming in to play, like Elvis. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why feels that way, but like Elvis was surprising how high it went. It was at a 5 as well.
Right.
And that Oppenheimer places, I don't know, just something about it, like all people are going to enjoy it, from like men to women to even like kids. Yeah. Like, it just seems like, oh, let's be daring and watch Twisters. It's just a different
guys,
something.
Let's say it. Let's say it together. It's a vibe.
Twister.
Oh, no.
What'd you say?
I said it's a vibe. Oh, it's a vibe.
Oh, okay. Oh man, guys, I'm kind of like trying to find other words besides vibe right now.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't apologize. I know. You're going to hear me say vibe.
I know you are.
It,
I'm just
okay?
hearing it everywhere right now at work, and it's become
because
so tough.
The car thing?
Yeah. Let's not talk ill about any kind of car company. Miguel, what's your...
Okay, so here I have thoughts on this. There's a reason why this is on here. I don't necessarily like if. Okay, I'm not going to overtalk it.
Okay,
number 6 for me.
I do love it when we preamble our picks. I will say that. Okay. But go ahead.
For me, it's another family-friendly animated movie. It's Despicable Me 4.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
There's a couple of reasons why I think this movie is going to be higher than Pixar's Inside Out 2. Okay. Mm-hmm. I said it a second ago, Despicable Me, Minions or whatever. There is a land for that at Universal, both Universals, right?
Yeah.
Last year or the year before, the Gentle Minions, you know what I mean? There was a whole movement for that. My son, again, just anecdotally, my son has become a big fan of this franchise. He's very much looking forward to this movie. And when I was talking about it with my wife, one of the things I said was, well, like even parents, they're kind of getting like tired of this franchise. Are you going to drag me to go see another Despicable Me movie? But there's new kids. There's new parents that are coming up that are like, well, my kid liked these other movies at home. We're definitely going to go see this one.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a little bit more of a drive for the younger audience as opposed to Inside Out, which is playing more towards like that preteen teenager era of childhood. You know what I mean? So I think this one's going to do just a little bit better. It's got the original cast back, right? Steve Carell's coming back. This isn't a spinoff. We're coming the whole family plus a new adventure. This is the this is the one that I'm banking on. So,
I think so. I think especially with all the Minion hype from a couple years ago, it feels like this franchise still has a lot of legs to it.
It will not die.
Yeah. My number 6, you know, we've talked about Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski movie. We talked about John Krasinski movie. I got to talk about another Ryan movie.
You're joking.
I think that this movie starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in The Fall Guy.
Miguel,
I was about to have a heart attack. Okay?
I know. No, I think this movie, it's coming out really early this weekend when this podcast drops. It has a lot of legs. I think it could, with all the premium formats and the fun adventure, I think it could creep its way up by word of mouth and just, you know, not just live for that weekend, but maybe reappear again later in June and then in July. I don't know. It's just a feeling as well, because it's kind of hard to compare this with a lot of other movies. Yeah. You know, we have Bullet Train, we have the fight movies, we have some stuff, but I feel like this is its own kind of beast. And I'm just really optimistic. I feel like some people are pessimistic about this movie doing well. Just for some reason, I'm throwing good feelings towards it.
Well, here's what's going to work for you. Barbie was such a big hit. Ryan Reynolds is kind of on... Ryan Gosling. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah. Ryan Gosling is kind of on a career high slash resurgence. You know what I mean? Like, he was already kind of making movies that are popular, but now he's like even more mainstream. People are going to want to see that. Kristen brought up a good point. She was reading that people are talking about how they couldn't believe Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt haven't done a movie together. Their chemistry is kind of off the charts in this trailer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there, this is a sell. I could totally see it. I'm kicking myself because that was a movie I was going to put on my top 10. And I'm just now realizing on Vibes earlier, I did not put it on here. So I'm going to stick with it. Even if I fucked myself, that's okay. Yeah. But no, that's a solid choice. And it sounds like Ed might have it a little
higher. Yeah, the chemistry
too.
Is, I feel like, is for me, it's coming off the screen. It's explosive. You have these premium formats now. It can find a way if it can. I don't know.
Like, I would have shifted Bad Boys off this list 100% if I had remembered. Fuck.
I'll say if Fall Guy doesn't do that well, this top 10, then that type of feeling and genre and action and momentum, that we're going to see dwindling results after it, because
it does give slight Netflix movie vibes, you know what I mean? Like, some of these shots do look very like green screened action in the back, you know what I mean? Action in the back. I don't know. Now I'm just justifying myself here, so I feel better about it, but I'll take it. I'll take my loss if I have to.
Okay, that's my number six. We're going into our top five now. Ed.
Yeah.
Number five pick.
All right. Well, I felt like I was fuckled with last year with Elemental. It's a movie that opened very low, and I had it kind of low on my list because Pixar was on the down and down after Lightyear.
Louise.
I've kind of balanced it out from between Lightyear to Elemental. I'm putting Inside Out right smack bang in my number five.
That's a solid choice.
People do reflect. I don't think Inside Out is one of those movies where, like, when you think of Pixar, you think of that. But it is one of those movies that clearly resonated. It was nominated for Best Picture. Yeah. It won Best Animated Feature, you know, and it did definitely strike a chord with a lot of people. And it did rather well. I think it... let me check my numbers here. There it is. It made 356 domestic. So even if you...
That's a good number.
If you did counter that with, like, the, you know, if you want to call it, like, you know, Pixar downslope right now, I don't know. I still think it has legs, you know, just like Elemental did. It just kind of stuck around. It was the, you know, at least at the time, it was the one kids movie that people, you know, grown-ups find Pixar movies more appealing, you know, if they can balance it out from the Despicable Me to something that's more, like, in tune with emotions and stuff like that, and the human... experience, then that's what they'll try and gun for. So we'll see. I don't know, but am I excited for it? You know, but like Miguel said, with Pixar sequels, there's always this kind of like, but do we or don't we kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But you know,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If
go.
Toy Story for both of you. If Toy Story 5 came out instead of Inside Out 2. Would you rank it higher?
That's really tough because, okay, Ed said yes.
But what that's what Ed thinks. What do you think, Miguel?
So these movies really come down to, and just as like personal, are we seeing it? Come down to my son. Is he excited for these movies?
Right.
He loves the Toy Story franchise. He is also very excited for Inside Out 2. He sees that poster in the movie theaters and he wants to go and like touch it and point to all the characters. Like, he's very excited about it. If it were just me, like looking like on the outside, I would say maybe Inside Out over Toy Story because Toy Story has been so, you know, overdone. And Inside Out is like, you know, it was an original concept and this is just the sequel, the very first sequel to it. So it has potential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would bank on it.
My only argument to that would just be simply that Toy Story is such a marketable
land. They have a land at Disney.
They have a land.
Okay.
Whereas Inside Out, you know, when you reflect on all Pixar movies, like Inside Out was one of those movies where you kind of, you thought was singular in its storytelling.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Same with like Up. I don't think anybody really wanted a sequel for Up. Ratatouille, but Wall-E, if they made a Wall-E 2, you know, it's that And I'm not saying that they haven't found a story that works. I'm talking purely marketing and
but kind of immediately story. You could have been like, I want a Toy Story 2 as soon as that first movie was over. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was more of like, you know, I got in touch with my feelings. Mm-hmm. I say goodbye to Bing Bong and, you know, I'm going to cry a little over here. But Toy Story has had those similar things with Toy Story 3, but then, you know, very successful Toy Story 4, even though, you know, maybe it didn't resonate with the older audiences now, because like you said, it, you know, they keep beating that same drum. But who knows? That's why I put it in number 5, right? Smack bang in the middle.
I think that's a solid choice. I think 5 is great. Yeah, it wasn't like, it wasn't number 1, Luis. You know what I mean?
Wait till you find out what number 1 is. Never say never.
All right, so Miguel, number 5.
Okay, we've talked about it already. I'm going to go and throw it on my list as well. A little, just a little bit higher, but kind of like with Ed, smack dab in the middle. I think this is a respectable approach for this movie. Listen, Andy Serkis isn't a part of this one anymore, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Okay. I'm writing this down.
Interesting.
This was a movie that a few months ago when we talked about the trailer, I was cold. I just wasn't here for it.
Yeah.
I did go back and watch the Andy Serkis Apes movies and was really drawn in, even to the third one, which I remember thinking I didn't like as much. I came back to it and was like, I'd like these movies.
Yeah.
And you guys made a really good point about, Ed kind of said it already in this episode, was we're coming back to like the format of Planet of the Apes, right? Like it is a future storyline. And they are taking the threads of those movies and putting it kind of where you expect it to go. The hold up for me, and this is a trailer vibe, is the CGI is not as good. We have talked about trailer CGI many times before. It can get better by the movie. But it, because Andy Serkis is not a part of this movie, it does have me a little, I don't think it's going to be top 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's all I'll say. I think it has a potential. Oh, the only thing is that we were talking earlier about, there's not a Fast and Furious movie this year.
Right.
And this could be that Fast and Furious, franchise of the summer. Could
like
be
the audience capturing that same audience.
Yes. And that's why, like Ed in this last one, number 5 for me, like, I think this is a solid one.
I'm going with Bad Boys as my Fast and Furious of this year. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you.
That is also, that's fair, yeah.
But the formula
like
tweaks.
Quality and tone, you know what I mean? Yeah, I agree with what you mean. Planet of the Apes is also very...
It's a recurring franchise.
But very like serious and straight-faced storytelling because, you know, if they did what Fast did... Family.
Strong.
But, yeah, family strong.
Yeah, no, I'll take it number 5. And no, let's
I think that's a good. I genuinely do hope it is good, and I hope it does do well, because I am, I do have a soft spot for the franchise, so I'm here for it.
Okay, my number 5. I love this franchise. And I wish it would get higher, but I don't know if it will, because I don't know if it'll reach general audiences. Loved Fury Road, and I'm excited for Furiosa, but I just don't know if it's going to get high enough. I feel like film nerds on Twitter love it, but then it may not translate to general audiences loving it. Originally on Sunday, I had it at higher on my list, and then I was thinking about it. I was looking at numbers, and I was like, maybe not everyone's as excited about this as me, you know? I had to check myself a little bit. After seeing the trailer to the second one, I'm not as hyped about it as I was when I watched the trailer for the first one. I will say that.
Right.
Yeah. The second one seems like someone almost imitating that first movie. Yeah.
But it's George Miller, right?
I know. Yeah. I just have that feeling, you know? So.
Yeah. We'll clearly talk more about it, I guess.
I had it higher. Okay.
No,
it changed.
I also had my same, you know, because I feel that when Fury Road came out, there was like this growing, fervor about it, about, you know, the buzz started circulating. The movie had gone through so many like reshoots and production issues for like 5 years almost. And a lot of people doubted whether it was actually going to happen. And then like that first trailer dropped at like a Comic Con or something like that. And I remember watching it for the first time. I was like, this looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that, but maybe he's just like, we already know the world. We already know where the story's going, but
it doesn't feel as explosive, or I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Well, it's, I feel, I agree. They might be holding back on the spectacle.
You might be right.
For purely just to like,
for the event.
Yeah. From Fury Road, and not including any of the other Mad Max movies, you are in that Fury Road world, and that's what people are going to familiarize with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, without giving away, because obviously Fury Road had to regain some of that confidence.
I'm just sitting here thinking, is before that movie comes out, people are going to revisit Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, that movie is one of the best, right? Like, it was an amazing film. Yeah, I could totally see another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to drive people to the audience.
And the one for the theater too. You know, like,
yeah,
this is going to be on a huge screen. People are going to pay more money for that. And
even if it's less people, if it's more IMAX viewings, money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, a character that everybody adored in Fury Road. Obviously, it's not Charlize Theron, but it's Anya Taylor-Joy.
Who doesn't love Anya Taylor-Joy?
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, throw in Chris Hemsworth to boot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Chris Hemsworth later, I guess.
Ed, what's your number four pick for?
All right, guys. Don't ask me how I ended up here.
That's going to be the vibe for the top four for all of us, okay?
Yeah. So I ended up with back-to-back animated movies. You know, kids are an audience too, and that's the summertime, baby.
Yeah.
Parents need to do stuff with kids.
What is it?
And this franchise just never seems to fail at the box office. It's Despicable Me 4.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And even the branch off franchise of Minions, consistent.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of insane. The second, they just keep actually making more money, if anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us.
So much money. Like, if this movie ended up at number two at the end of the summer, I wouldn't be at all surprised. It's just the movie nerd and snob in me that hopes that it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. This movie makes over $300 million when the most of these movies on this top 10 won't even break 200.
Okay. Yeah, yes. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, my kid, this is the summer for him. He's just getting into these movies. And I mean, you should see him bouncing on the couch every time we watch one of these films.
Yeah.
And I'm playing on my phone like I could care less. And he is just like beaming, shouting to the ceiling about how much he loves these movies. So,
dude, you have to come to Universal Studios here when you visit LA, because
we did.
Oh, yeah. No, but. Oh, yeah, you did. Sorry.
We did. That's another thing that I'm talking about, is he was very excited. We rode that ride. He saw the Minion. He gave him a high five. Like, he's talking about the characters now even more.
Bob.
Yeah. A Kevin. Kevin.
Yeah. I forget the third one's name.
I had no idea they had names. I just thought they were like, banana. And
put your phone down while you're watching this movie with your kid, and you'll learn something, okay?
Oh,
ooh. Your number four was, wait, was that number four?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Miguel.
Okay. You guys, I told you I'm confident in my list. Okay. My top four, I'm very confident in. Okay.
Yes.
I don't think this is just a small circle of an audience that's going to go see this movie. I think this is the one. I think they've released one trailer so far, and they'll release more as the movie comes out. Don't get me wrong. It's getting closer to the movie. They'll release another one, but I think they're kind of saving the event of this movie. This is a popular franchise. John Krasinski had something when that first one came out.
Oh.
You guys, Quiet Place Part 3, Day 1. Quiet Place Day 1. You guys, I think this is the one. Lupita Nyong'o, the guy from Stranger Things, who's also going to be Fantastic Four.
I had no idea that he was in this movie.
Watch the trailer.
Okay.
But yeah, she's in it. I get the vibe that she doesn't talk. You know, she's like a mute. You know what I mean? It's like another element to this type of franchise where sound is so important. Jaimin Hunsu, which is an actor who, you know, he kind of deserves better, but he just throws himself into Zack Snyder's arms, apparently. I think this one is going to be a popular popcorn summer movie. Okay.
I know I have it so low on my list, but I'm scared of this movie. I'm scared of this movie exploding and just finding a way to just rock it. I want it to do well, but I really feel like if this thing kicks off, it's going to go far.
I think so too. I just was at AMC a couple weeks ago to go see whatever movie, and they had the you know, like they do the cardboard like cutouts or whatever. Yeah. It was a like a subway entrance down and into Lupita's a subway. Underneath, like, yeah, and you can walk into it and take a picture. Oh, really? Yeah, no, it was immersive. It felt like, oh, I'm in this thing. Like, it's not just this flat thing. Anyway, yeah, I vibe with the trailer. I think it's a good cast. I think it's a franchise that people like. And if we're going to do a prequel, it feels like a world where people, right? Like, that's the big question. Why are they here? Why is this happening? And this maybe will check a lot of boxes. Top four for me, Quiet Place Part 1.
The director is pretty all right.
No, I didn't look into any of that. I want pure vibes.
No, that's fine.
I'm talking AMC movie displays.
I haven't even seen the trailer for this. That's why I was unsure about. And I've seen so many movies.
Why haven't you seen the trailer a couple times?
I mean, it's kind of been out for a minute. Like, you haven't seen this trailer?
I have not come across it, and I haven't sought it out either. Again, that's I felt like that weird. Second one just kind of came and went. It made money. Like, it did decent.
It was also during COVID.
COVID is it got released on Peacock or whatever, so it drove people to the streaming service. But it was
only made $20 million less than the first one.
It's a franchise that people like. You know what I mean?
It could be explosive.
Ed, it kind of blows my mind that you haven't watched this trailer. Regardless of our...
For surprises, because I love Lupita Nyong'o.
Maybe that's better.
I think she's just flawless and everything.
All right, we'll get after it.
Yeah. My number four is Twisters.
Yeah. Yes, Louise. Yes!
I think it might be like, it's, you know, like Top Gun. Like, let's go. America's here to save the world, you know? I feel like this could have some legs. Number four is Twisters. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about it later.
Okay.
Glenn Powell is definitely embracing that Tom Cruise dynamic. You know what I mean? It's just like what does he say in the trailer? It's like, would I say chase it or whatever?
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. So you watch this trailer. I pick up. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
I watched this trailer, guys. Anyway, sorry.
Every time I watch a trailer, like, I'm not going to get excited. And by the end of it, I'm like, I'm excited. You know?
Wins! We have twins!
We were talking about Furiosa. When we went to go see Civil War, we were watching the trailers, and I went to the restroom at one point during the trailers, and I came back, and then the latest trailer for Furiosa came on. So I got back up and left again. Oh. And then when I came back, my friend leaned over. He's like, "Are you okay?" It's just like, just spoilers, bro. I'm just avoiding that trailer.
Yeah.
Ed, baby, like, you're already, Ed, stop. You're already half deaf, okay?
Yeah.
You just have to do this, and the movie's gone. It's not there. You know what I mean? Close your eyes and do bop, 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 bop like that.
Yeah. I mean,
physically leaving is deranged, and you should see a therapist.
Luis, what do you do?
I definitely close my eyes and put thumbs in my ears and just start humming.
Okay. Humming. I haven't tried
like
humming.
A normal person, Ed. Yeah.
Rocking back and forth.
not even your friend. Just think about the people in the rows in front and behind you. They were like, this guy's getting up again.
The other guy next to me. Yeah.
I'd be pissed. Well, imagine
about it. I'm not like,
lower, lower your fucking armrest and your foot rest one more time just so you can be like, oh, you're getting up again? And you come back empty handed. Like, I would think, oh, he forgot the beer. He forgot the candy. He comes back and he's just empty handed.
Yeah.
I'd smack you.
Good to know.
I'm sure people would be scared of you. Like the people in the back of the theater, like, yeah, why is that guy keep coming in and out? I mean, I know I definitely get scared when random people just come into the movie.
Yeah. I texted Ed when I saw Civil War. There was a guy that showed up in full motorcycle gear. Like he had like all the leathers and the helmet in his hands and everything. And I was like, yo, what's the vibe? Like, yeah, I'm too close to the front right now. Like,
that's when you start deciphering a plan. You're like, okay,
Where's the exit?
Okay. Where are we going to go?
You guys, top three.
Top three. Here we go. Oh,
I'm so excited.
These are my top three. Okay.
I know. I can't. I'm ready to go.
All right, guys.
These are the blue chips.
When you put two people who never fail to have great chemistry with anybody that you put them next to, whether it's The Rock or Emma Stone, or
I'm gonna write it down before you even say it,
or thinking of another example, that can only make movie magic. And from everything I've heard so far about this movie, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are fantastic. And right hot off of Barbie, right off of Oppenheimer, right off of that SNL episode that rocked YouTube. That's like one of the most watched episodes, where Emily Blunt showed up for the intro. I don't know if you guys watched that.
No, I gotta watch it.
But they were great. They had like a little duet together. It was wonderful.
Say it, Ed.
It's the Fool Guy.
There you go. Ed, I, like I said earlier, and I could tell by your reaction, I fucked up. I wish I would have put this movie on my top 10.
It could totally flop.
And you know what's crazy is that we talked about it in my house, and I showed Kristen my list right before we recorded, and she wasn't like, oh, what about Fall Guy? Like, she was the one that told me, like, I'm kind of kicking myself.
I'm seeing it this weekend. Like,
I can't wait to see it. You know, but here's the thing is, like, on top of that, it's going to be a great date movie that appeals to both sexes. It's not like divisive. It's going to be funny. You know, it's going to be funny just based off of Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling's chemistry.
Great cast.
David Leitch is also having a moment. I didn't love Bullet Train, but that movie made money. And obviously, you know, he's behind the Keanu Reeves, John Wick franchise. He's a guy who knows how to do action, and this movie is a testament to stunt actors. Mm-hmm. And so this could really kick off both in like the film loving community and also just the general audiences. And I think, again, the summer vacation may not have necessarily started just yet, but we're right on the cusp, and this is the first big one. And they're releasing this one on IMAX too.
IMAX.
Me and Sarah are genuinely excited to see this. We think it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
Ed, I'm kicking myself, dude. Like, I wish I would have put this
on
my list.
Throw it in on a wild card.
No, I'll tell you why. Okay, because I've already won once, and I'm going to just go. I'm going to commit to mine, and if I lose, I lose, but I'm going to commit to what I selected, okay?
Bless you.
So I will say this. There's a reason why Fall Guy didn't register with me, and it's because I immediately selected my top three. Like, these were the first three things I wrote down. I was very confident.
Okay. I wonder if... Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Okay. But for me, these were solid choices. Okay.
Okay.
And in this order, I wrote them down 1, 2, 3 like this. Okay. This is how confident I am. And I'll take my L if I have to. Okay. But the number three movie of the summer, per Miguel Sanchez. Okay. You guys, we got twins. All right. It's a nostalgia factor. Twisters is going to be the number three movie of this summer. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I believe it could go. I have it in my fourth. So if it hit three for sure, this, I guess
this is a movie that is going to drive audiences. Okay. It's going to be a new audience coming to see it, and it's going to be the millennial need for nostalgia. Okay. There, when was the last time Twisters came out? The '90s. It's not like they beat this shit over, you know what I mean, with a hammer. It's like, this is the first time we're coming back to this. It's a man versus nature story. It is not just like the typical humdrum superhero popcorn movie.
Right.
Okay. It is kind of the year for this to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
And Glenn Powell, hot off the press, right? Like, he is blowing up. This is his year. He is going to have a career after this movie, whether it works or doesn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm very confident in these top three. Twisters is my number three choice. I'll talk to you guys in a second, okay?
Bye.
Louise. I feel like all my bottom six, anyone can fly. You know? It's... But my number three is going to be an animation movie. I've only said one animation movie so far.
Okay.
It's going to be an animation movie.
Oh no.
I hear it's going to do well. I don't know.
Luis, you got that inside connection.
Yeah, let's go.
He said Lightyear was not number one. Maybe Inside Out could be number three.
Maybe that was a little too high. I don't know.
I appreciate you not changing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Luis, if this goes as steady as I think we all three of us think it might, I think there's a very good chance it could end up in that top three, top five spot. You know what I mean?
Ed, let's be honest. It's Luis's year. Okay.
It's Luis's year.
Well, and if Luis could win on anything, it could be Inside Out in the number three spot. Okay.
It feels like Pixar's been having a harder time, and this is their time to show up and say, all right, we're doing sequel? This. And they well, okay. I mean, yeah.
Guys, nothing seems to be working. Let's just, what could we just
bring it back?
Yeah. Oh, Inside Out. Yeah, shit. Fuck it.
Dark Knight. No, this is going to be the Dark Knight of the Inside Out franchise. The Dune Part 2 of an Inside Out franchise.
The Toy Story 2 of the Pixar.
Spider-Man 2, The Judgment Day, Terminator 2.
Could be the best.
Inside Out 2 will be number 3. Okay, pass it along.
Ed.
Yeah, here we go.
Top 2.
Now, this was like a struggle for me with Fall Guy. I was back and forth on my two and three spots. I have zero doubts about my number one spot, but number two.
What is it?
You know, we were talking about it earlier. As we have all these movies. I am... excited about this movie. I'm trying not to get too hyped about this movie.
Got it. All right.
I can't help but get excited. It's Furiosa.
Yeah, it is. All right.
If it's lightning strikes twice, then I think, like you were saying, it will blow up. I think, you know, it's been long enough, nearly 10 years since Fury Road, which is kind of nuts. It's been 9 years now. And, you know, like we said, Fury Road has definitely been passed around. Like, people love that movie, both inside and out of the film community, and Inside Out 2 of the film community. but the I can't help but start getting excited. That first trailer, whilst like I said, wasn't anything totally memorable.
Yeah.
Or not, you know, but the rhythms, the beats, the drums, like, kind of had me pumped. I love the world of Mad Max, and I think Fury Road was the everything that George Miller had been building towards his whole life.
Yeah.
And I have like the behind the scenes book about it with the all the drawings, setups, whatever, the comic
drawings.
What do you call them, Luis? Help me out.
The storyboards.
Storyboards. He storyboarded that world to with such detail and depth. Like, I have no doubt that he has something solid here. And this was, again, nearly 10 years ago now. So he's definitely had time to, you know, work it out. But yeah, fingers crossed. But I hope it does well. I
hope it does too. It made, I had it higher on my list, and then I saw how much it made last time. It made $154 million. And yeah, then, well, I look at other, you know, animated movies, and they're averaging 370, 350, 340.
Yeah.
And so it's just, that's the only thing is that I felt that was a little low for me to make it in my top three. Yeah,
no, 100%. But I think Fury Road may have just blow, like, again, I think people had low expectations of it for so long.
Yep.
Like leading up to it. So when it finally came out, and it ended up being a movie that nobody expected it to be, even
right.
of itself, like, it wasn't Mad Max focused. It was about this woman, Furiosa. So seeing where they go with that, I don't know. I think
I'd love like it for I said, it to be that high.
And
yeah, I could see think about easily it. Maybe getting over 200 mil again. If people start buzzing about this, they're pushing IMAX, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It could turn in its favor.
Yeah.
But
it's coming up real soon.
It is.
May 24th.
And, you know, it's the one right now, it's probably my most anticipated of the summer. Like, of all the movies, this is the one I'm most excited to see. But I'm also so scared. I'm so scared.
All right.
I'm getting so excited. I want to watch Fury Road after this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think we're all going to do this dance on the next couple of choices, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out now because yeah. I think there's going to be a movie that's going to be a little bit better, a little bit, do a little bit better. Okay.
This is your number two.
My number two. Okay. Is the movie that's going to save Marvel, you guys. Okay. I told you earlier, I'm not putting any Ryan Reynolds movie in this top 10. Okay. I'm putting the Ryan Reynolds movie. You guys, the second movie of the summer is going to be Deadpool 3 with Wolverine. Deadpool and Wolverine, okay? All right.
Forgot to put it on my list. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't think so. Don't even. I'll pull an Ed. No, okay? Yeah.
That's what everybody knows Ed for. No.
I definitely, I feel very confident in my top three.
Yeah.
I think Deadpool is, I mean, a solid number two choice.
Mm-hmm.
If it shifts up one, then I'll get those points too. Okay. Deadpool 2. This is, I really love that superhero fatigue is kind of playing into the choices here.
Yeah.
Deadpool is the only Marvel movie coming out this year, or at least in the summer.
This year.
Is Falcon and Winter or Falcon?
Everything got moved.
We do have Kraven the Hunter, but that's Sony.
Marvel Studios. I feel like this is taking for them to take a beat because Ryan Reynolds and them, they were their own creative team, so they could kind of flush this out while they're trying to fix what's it called, the new Captain America. And
I have my personal qualms with the trailer for this movie, but I do think this one? Is the one. The one that just came out that I guess I didn't talk about it,
released. So that's why. Yeah,
I do have some qualms. Don't get me wrong. But I think this is going to put butts in seats. Okay. And I do think it's going to be a top three movie. For
if
sure.
this doesn't do well, then. It's going to say a lot.
That's not talking about my conviction. Okay, like that is more so about the Marvel universe general. Okay. I can't wait to talk about number one, Luis.
All right, my number two is about a franchise that has made a lot of money and doesn't stop. Do I want it to be this high? I do not want it to be this high, but people show up for this movie, and I'm gonna put Despicable Me 4 as my number two. I think people are gonna show up. out of jokes, out of just because.
I don't think you're wrong, Luis.
You know what? It's two for you. It's four for me. It's six for Ed. There's a pattern here. Okay.
No, like I had it at number four.
Oh, sorry. Six is me. Sorry. Two for you. I initially had it that Ed was going to go first and I had to scribble that. Okay. I didn't realize. Okay. Oh no. Sorry. Forgive me.
Sorry. Thank God I'm writing it down. Like I said, I would.
Well, I wrote it down too.
Okay.
There's a lot of scribbles.
I had a feeling what our number ones are going to be, but after your number two pick, let's go. Ed, what is the number one movie?
Guys, it's Deadpool and Wolverine. Do I have 100% faith in this film? No, not necessarily. But it's the event movie of the summer.
Ah! Let's talk about that phrase for a second, okay? Because that was something I spat on that
last year.
I definitely said that a lot last year. The event movie of the summer was going to be Flash, okay?
Yeah, but I don't think this is nearly...
This is different. This is different, yeah.
Yeah, this is like... If anything, they can play in on the comedy on this one.
Yeah.
You know, if Hugh Jackman doesn't put butts in seats as Wolverine, nothing else will.
They're pulling out all the stops. The comic book accurate suits, the mutants, the villains, the MCU lore. We're seeing Ant-Man, Giant Man, Skull. You know what I mean? Like they're saying this is a movie.
You're saying too much already. I didn't know those things.
Oh shit!
You got to not say all those things. I didn't know about that.
Sorry.
We'll shut up. But
I was just kind of improvising.
It seems like a locked winner one way or another, even if it doesn't end up at number one, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like
it's a top three movie.
I think it is a top three movie. I think it could definitely clear easily 200 million domestic, even if it's bad, you know what I mean? Which would put it pretty high up on the list. So, yeah, I mean, not much more to say about it, especially since we can't talk about the trailer.
Louise.
But no, it is that, and I think Ryan Reynolds does seem to have an astute handle on his career and life right now. So yeah, I think he knew what he was doing when he was getting into this, and I don't think Hugh Jackman would have done it. Well, he might have.
It's a lot of money. You have to assume it was a lot of money they gave him.
A ton of money. Oh yeah. But like, yeah, so we'll see, but
Deadpool Wolverine. Miguel, what's your number one?
Ed and I, like I said, we're doing a dance, okay? My number one movie of the summer, okay? And this is not a movie that I'm flocking to, but I think it's gonna be the number one movie, okay?
Okay.
You guys, people loved Fury Road. Okay. People love Anya Taylor-Joy. You guys, the number one movie of the summer, and this is the previous winner calling in, okay, is going to be Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, okay? I just don't have anything to say. I mean, this is the movie.
In my heart of hearts, like I said, I hope this movie is as good as I want it to be, and I hope it makes every fucking buck that is in people's wallets this summer.
You know, I feel very confident. Even watching the trailer, we talk about CGI. We were talking about it last night. The CGI does not look good in that first trailer.
Miguel, I think you are just hard to please.
Sure. Okay, don't get me wrong, okay? But this is the one that I'm really banking on, and I think it's going to be it. And like I said, I'll take my L's, okay? Because, you know, if I lose this one, I lose this one. Who I really want to win is Luis, okay? With Despicable Me in number two, I want Luis to win. Anyone but Ed.
I didn't want to put these two animated movies up top on two and three, but that's just what happened.
You know, we'll see it. We'll just see it, okay?
All right,
Louise, let's hear your number one.
My number one movie is going to be Horizon, American Saga. No.
Stop.
It's Deadpool and Wolverine. For me, when I think of the summer, I think of Deadpool, Wolverine. All other movies fall away from that. This is the movie that is the center of that tentpole.
I hear that.
You know, it feels like a moment, and if that fails, then I guess I don't know.
Kill yourself. No,
I'll kill myself. No, I'm kidding. No, yeah, I don't know. If it fails, then yeah, Marvel's not gonna be doing too hot. But
I mean, we talked about temperature earlier on. I mean, this is kind of one of those temperature takers. You know what I mean? Is this movie gonna do well for Marvel? Let's see.
It's a temperature check. Let's see how they're doing.
Yeah. Man, now I just want to hear what you guys' wild cards are.
We can do these just back to back to back. So, Ed, do you want
just
to
just all three? Yeah. Let's go.
Miguel, I mean, Luis might feel differently, but it's not too late to make Fall Guy a wild card if you want.
You know what? Wait till you hear my wild cards, okay? I will take my L on Fall Guy because I am kind of kicking myself about that. But I genuinely feel very confident about my choices, even in my wild card.
Can I just ask, what is this thing you keep saying, I'll take my L?
Ed.
Like, I'll take my loss? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So just say the word.
Ed's pushing 40, you guys. All right, he's going to...
I'll take my L.
Ed, what are your three wild cards?
Let me ask this.
Oh yeah.
Real quick.
Yes.
Is the wild card, is it like a 3-2-1, like I have a tier, or is it just wild card is any of these three?
It can rank anywhere, right?
Rank anywhere, yeah, exactly.
Okay. I have mine in a 3-2-1, but I'll just throw it out. Whatever. Okay, sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
And sorry, am I just going with all three of mine right now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So for my wild cards, I had Borderlands.
Yep.
Mm.
I also had M. Night Shyamalan's Trap.
Okay, I'm going to talk about that for a second because when I looked at the list, it was not on the wide released. I wanted to put Trap on there, but I thought we weren't doing that.
Let me just...
Oh, what do you mean? Like, if it's even if it's not wide released, I guess that counts.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with my choices.
But it's not a wide release, though. I'm looking... Sorry,
I have thoughts about Trap. This is like Josh Hartnett is on a renaissance, right? Like he is coming back, and this is definitely no. Don't make that face, Ed. Okay, well, I'm speaking for you right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know, M. Night Shyamalan thrillers. You know,
his daughter's also putting a movie out this year.
What?
Ed, you had Borderlands, Trap. Ed, go ahead.
Okay, and lastly, guys, you know, this one is just in my heart of hearts. I want there to be a good and, you know, a successful Western. I'm somehow gunning for Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American Saga. And
pick
I guess
one.
I'm going with part one, just in case it's bad and it doesn't make money on the follow-up.
Smart.
But like, Kevin Costner is kind of on a high right now with Yellowstone. And
that's been a big conversation.
We're talking about domestic, and Americans love a good Western. Americans love Kevin Costner.
You should talk to my wife because she was kind of like, she was very anti this movie, but was also like, but I see why this could work. You know,
I feel like this could be last year's Sound of Freedom.
Wow. Here's what's going to kill this movie for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's also
the fact.
Sorry,
I don't want to overstep. But what's going to kill it for me is the part one, part two, and one summer.
Yeah, okay? 100%.
That's a tough, because it automatically tells me, what is this product? What is this story? You know what I mean? Like, if at that point, just make it a TV show.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But watching the trailer, I do see why there's a vibe. You know what I mean? And you're right. Yellowstone is a big hit. Kevin Costner is a big hit. It looks good. It's a good cast. Yeah. I just think it's a really hard sell.
Oh, it could be like a massive swing and a miss. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
But like I said, there could just be an audience for it. And what I was about to say was that it is opening in Cannes. both parts. So if that gets enough traction and word of mouth starts spreading,
I didn't think about that.
Like, and that's really a big part of why I'm putting it on there too. You know, like I said, it could get enough traction to make like a, you know, a modest hit. But, and again, I'm yearning. There are not enough westerns these days, and I'm yearning for a good one.
I hear you. I hear you.
And Kevin Costner can make a solid western.
I was listening up on a podcast about Tubi, the free.
Oh, yeah.
App where you can just watch content. And on this podcast, I think it's some head of Tubi. They're saying that Westerns are actually watched a lot. They rank high in their programming. So if that's just like the taste that general audience is having now, then maybe this movie is going to resonate with them. Like, hey, we're watching this on streaming. Let's go to the theaters for this moment.
Especially older audiences.
Yeah.
You know?
I think maybe because they shifted for like it's a summer too late, but just last year we were watching movies that were 3 hours long. You know what I mean? These movies were hits. They were bangers. And it's like if you could have combined the story into a 3-hour epic and still called it a saga, you know what I mean?
Right.
That might have done better for it. But the split, I was talking to Kristen. And maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time I remember a movie being split over like kind of a 6-month period was, do you remember when Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions came out?
Those
came out in the same year, but they were like a spring movie and a late fall, like winter movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so for both of these movies to be coming out in the same summer, it's just kind of like, just cut it down. You know what I mean? Make a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you could literally probably go to a movie theater and see both of the screenings at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Be like on a late window for the first one and an early window for the second one.
Which again could also give part one some legs later
on.
It
could bolster it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but at the same time, Miguel, you're absolutely right. Nobody wants to. I mean, I haven't looked up.
It feels like a business thing. Like there was some sort of business tactic that someone trying to.
But I also feel like
it's also again a really great cast, and it looks very. It's a very like visually appealing movie.
Yeah.
So I was kind of torn on this one, to be honest.
Sure. Well, there you go. Those are my wild cards.
Wait, yours was Horizon, Borderlands, and
Trap.
Trap. That's right. Okay. Miguel.
Okay. You're going to hear some of these again.
Okay.
Borderlands is definitely a wild card. Okay. Mainly because of the year of video game adaptations. Okay. This is one that was kind of like perpetual delay. The video game community kind of spat on it the moment the trailer and the pictures all came out, but I don't think that's how the reception is going to be when it actually comes out. Kevin Hart's a big draw. Cate Blanchett's a big draw. Jack Black's a big draw. I think Borderlands is a solid wild card choice.
Yeah.
The other movie that I think is a wild card, just because it's a drama coming out in the middle of the summer, but it has Tom Hardy. It has Austin Butler. I think Bike Riders is going to be one of those wild card hits. It could be the thing, kind of a movie that people are yearning for in the middle of the summer.
Right.
Yeah, I talk shit about it. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But I do think it's a wild card choice. And finally, this is a movie that I maybe would have put higher on my list if it came out earlier in the year. But I'm going to put out last weekend of our calendar window is The Crow. I'm going to make it the wild card. It's actually It's actually 2 weekends before the end of our cutoff, but it's like the last big.
Yeah.
There's a couple of movies, but it's the last big one of the summer.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think if it has a couple of good weekends, it could have legs. It could give us a push. I think the trailer was great. I think the casting is solid. It's a movie that's kind of been in development hell for like 30 years or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got potential. And that's why it's in my wild card. So,
all right.
There you go.
Bill Skarsgård is kind of having a year too. He's got Nosferatu coming out later. He's got this movie, which admittedly I don't think a whole lot of people are pumped about, but he also had a movie just come out, Boy Kills World.
Right.
So the other thing that I mentioned earlier was this is kind of a horror movie that's a little bit at the end of the summer. It's a hop and a skip away from Halloween. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the time this movie wraps up and hits VOD, that's the October season. So it could like kind of draw an audience to see it. I will see. Wild card.
Right. They could just be like, I'll wait till it comes out on streaming.
It could go either way. Yeah.
All right, my three wild cards. One of them is Alien Romulus. This is originally actually in my top 10 for a bit. And then when I looked at the past box office, it was just so disheartening to see how low, like 75, not even breaking 100. Yeah. And you kind of have to break 100 to get in my top 10. You know, so and I don't know if people are going to show up immediately. It might get legs later on the line by just by word of mouth by how good this movie is. But it's showing up so late at the
late in the summer, right?
Yeah, late in the summer. If it was June, I would probably move it up a little bit. But another one is Horizon American Saga. This one is I'm not actually attached to at all, but I keep hearing word about it everywhere. It just it keeps popping up in the conversation, and I just have to look at myself and say, well, hey, it's not for me, but it seems like it's bubbling. So I got to put it in the wild card.
I cannot believe. Wow.
Okay. Wait, which part are you going?
Saga 1.
Okay, that's important.
It is.
Very important. And then my last one is one that we've all picked together, Borderlands. I think it's to a general audience person, they see the cast, they know one of them. And they say, oh, that looks quirky and Guardians of the Galaxy and fun. I'll buy a ticket to go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, my list, my top, like Despicable Me, Inside Out 2, as far as like what I'm excited to see, those aren't on my top three, but that's just what I'm predicting. You know, like I want my Furiosa. I want.
No, of course not. Yeah. That's the thing.
I think these are good wild cards.
Yeah. You really, Miguel, for instance, Bike Riders would be at the top spot. You know what I mean? Because I am super pumped for that movie.
No, I know. But give it a billion dollars. It's a vibe.
But yeah. It is, it's a vibe. But I'm glad you gave it a little shout out.
I will say, if I haven't said it already, okay, I saw the trailer. I was giving you guys shit, but the second trailer, it does look pretty good, okay? I'm not a big Tom Hardy fan. I get the Austin Butler hype, but the story just seems, you know what I mean, ripe for...
Jeff Nichols is a great director. He's really underappreciated.
That's what I mean. It's kind of like a middle of the summer... It could kind of be a hit.
It was supposed to be in like the, best picture running last year. Like it was supposed to get a huge Oscar push, but then we had the strikes. So it got bumped back.
What sold me is in the trailer where they burn the bar down and the guy goes like, we should leave. And Tom Hardy goes, no, they're scared of us. Yeah. And I was like, okay, vibe. I see you, Tom Hardy. Like
you doing a voice. He had an accent, right?
Let's go. Yeah.
They're scared. No, I forget the trailer.
Batman. Let's ride these bikes.
Time to leave. No, what does he say? Let's take this off road.
Let's go mobile.
Yes. Time to go mobile. Yeah.
Time to go mobile.
Yo, Glenn Howerton was in that scene too. You know what I mean?
He was. Yeah. How? Glenn,
Bane's been riding bikes, okay? Like,
that was a whole sequence, wasn't it?
You guys, I think this is a solid year. Like I said, I feel like we've learned. This is a let's see how it goes. It could go any direction.
This was so much less stressful than the last 2 years.
Yeah,
I feel like the. Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. I've been googling this on the side. Have you guys seen the movie Lawless?
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Does Bike Riders give you Lawless vibes, or is it completely a different movie?
I feel like it's completely different. Yeah.
Okay. Ed would say that, Luis. I see what you're saying. All right. Okay. Like Tom Hardy.
Showing up like, business, you know, like
country hick.
Yeah.
Weird ass accent. Okay.
Yeah.
He's looking down, he probably spitting. Probably he smells, you know, like I get it.
I'm here for it. I don't. Tom Hardy fan Stan.
That was our summer movie wager. Just to recap on the points here, if you get number 1 or number 10 dead on, 13 points. If you land dead on from 2 to 9, 10 points. If you're one spot away, 7 points. If you're two spots away, 5. If you're anywhere in the top 10, 3. And if any of your dark horses make it, you get 1. So we'll keep you updated on, you know, how we're doing throughout the summer season. And then we'll do an episode around September 4th. Did you guys want to talk about what we're into or no?
No. No.
Okay.
No. But go see Challengers.
Luis.
I was kind of not wanting to see that movie, but it's getting so much buzz right now.
Yeah. Luis, I'm seeing it before the next episode, so...
I probably won't see it before the next episode.
Luis, can I just give you the quick spiel that I've been hyping myself up to give you? I feel like the trailer does it a huge disservice. You're familiar with Luca Guadagnino?
I looked up his IMDb earlier and I've already forgotten the movies he was on. Sorry.
You haven't seen Call Me By Your Name?
Let me look him up. Google.
Continue.
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, that's right. No, I actually never saw that movie, no.
Oh, shit. Well, I feel like for that reason, then, that you don't know what this movie is going to be. But on a technical standpoint, Luis, I feel like this movie checks off all the things that you look for.
Go ahead, Ed.
The movie, the cinematography is lush. The structure of the story is so precise and well done and builds up to a wonderful finale. I feel like the visual language of it too. And I'm not Luis. Just being a twat. I just think like everything about it, the audio design too is perfect. Like you can hear every bone crunch, tennis racket hit and smash. And the score by Trent Reznor just gives it this beautiful pulse throughout. It's fucking... I'm just very excited. I'm really looking forward to Miguel and Kristen seeing it, and I think you would enjoy it if you gave it a shot.
I think you're right. I feel like the trailer did a lot of disservice.
I think it makes the movie look generic, and but it's not that at all. It's just a really well crafted film on top of some really great performances.
All right,
and that's all I'll say. Because I promised Miguel I wouldn't.
Thank you. I mean, Ed is the one who sold it for me, but it was at the same time coupled with the fact that the internet has not stopped talking about this movie. And I was kind of like, okay, Ed, if Ed had come back and was like, Miguel, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, I would have been like, oh, it's just talk. You know what I mean? Well, she's just talking femme. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, it sounds like one we're going to go see. So we're going. So Luis,
all right,
be on board.
All right, well, maybe, you know, my plans might change this weekend. We'll see. Yeah, yeah. We're feeling.
You guys, summer movie wager? What?
Part 3.
Third time?
Like, if Luis does win, do we just stop after this?
I think we should. Let us know down below in the comments, okay? Who do you think is going to win? Ed, yeah. Luis, Miguel, okay?
How do you like your odds?
It's clearly Luis, okay? Despicable Me 4, number 2.
Inside Out, number 3. Had to have a
let's go. Let's
there.
Go.
Tune in next week when we're going to review something. We'll probably talk about Challengers. We might talk about the fall.
Challengers.
Yeah. But until then, it's been me, Luis Gonzalez, and with me has been
Miguel Sanchez
and Deadpool.
And until next time, later, Gators.